Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
The market, well, didn't do so well this week. We had the Dow off slightly, off 0.1%. S&P was up a little teeny bit, 0.4. NASDAQ up 2.2 for the week, but most of that happened early in the week as a result of what happened with the jobs number. The 10-year yield is sitting right at a 2.84%. So again, for the year, we're up around 1.3% on the 10-year. But that yield has been bouncing around. As you know, it was as high as 3.5. And now it's 2.84. So that yield has been going up and down a little bit. Again, it's a signal of what's going on with the Fed. And oil got hit again this week, down about 10%, down 10.4%. for the week. Still year to date up 17.5%. Not bad, but I'll talk more about that here in a minute. And bonds are off still year to date 7.9%. So not a big change from last week, down about 1%. Again, nothing out of the ordinary. But the big news, of course, this week, as I've been talking about, are two things we're looking at for inflation. And one of them is just the jobs. And so, like I said, it was 528,000 jobs last month. The month of July, that was double what was expected, and the unemployment rate went down to 3.5%, which was pretty significant, because if you remember back to 2019, before the pandemic, we haven't seen a number like this, 3.5%, since 1969. That's right, 1969. So in any event, it's pretty good. Pretty good job number. And while that number is strong and shows that different industries are doing well, defying expectations for a slowdown in job creation, the wage growth rose a little bit more than expected. It was up 0.5% from the prior month, and for the year up 5.2%, suggesting that inflation is still around and not really going away, particularly in the service sector. And as you remember, we talked about this last week, this is not, I'm going to repeat, this is not what the Fed officials have been looking for. So while the strength in the labor market is good news for the economy, it is bad news for the market. And here's why. Because what the Fed said last week in their July statement was that in order for them to get less hawkish, meaning stopping raising rates at this rate, they're going to need to see the labor market become less tight, is what they said, which means rising unemployment needs to get to 4 and lower, or you know, higher, if you will, 4, 5, 6%, right? We're at 3.5 right now. So we want it to go the other way, meaning falling jobs. We want to see that number not 528,000, below 300,000 for sure. So that jobs report we just received means more rate hikes are needed to cool down this tight labor market and ease inflation, which again is the big problem. So in reaction to this data, the stock market yesterday fell on Friday. Bond yields rose slightly as expectations for the Fed to keep cranking rates higher is now embedded in the market. The bond market now expects another rate hike of 75 basis points in September. It was looking for about 50 basis points last week, but as a result of this, 75 is now the odds-on favorite. And we're seeing a peak of the Fed fund rate now in March of 2023 at 3.6% is the rate that we're looking at now. So next week, the big one's going to be the looming CPI report. Remember on Wednesday, I said that's the next one because that's the consumer price index report that, again, will show inflation in a big way or not such a big way. And so that's going to be a very, very important number to let us know what the Fed is thinking and what they're going to be doing. And are they getting inflation under control, or do they have to keep cranking rates higher, which is not good for the market and not good for tech stocks in particular. So what we've seen so far through the summer rally, remember we've seen a pretty good summer rally right now, and it was based on the expectation of the Fed pivoting, coming off the brakes, And this data we just got from the job market, you know, should disrupt that, disrupt that market from being calm. So more gains could be more difficult to achieve in the stock market, as it's going to take time for inflation to come down and for the Fed to signal that they're going to stop raising. But between now and September, the Fed officials are going to have another report from the employment, and they're going to have two more inflation readings to look at. Again, CPI being one of them. And then they'll start doing their projections and talking about their path of rate hikes for the future. So the uptrend in jobless claims, along with the recent downtick in job openings, suggests that the exceptional strength on jobs is going to be hard to maintain. And we'll see what happens. Now, what happened this week in Europe? Because I want to contrast the U.S. market versus the European market, especially if you invest internationally. So what we had happen this week was the Bank of England raised rates. They followed the European Bank and hiked rates by 50 basis points. And this was the biggest single hike they've done since the mid-90s. Get that. And they warned of this was incredible, of a near-term recession, and cautioned that inflation could hit, get this, 13% by year end. Yeah. So their Governor Bailey said he expected a recession in the fourth quarter in the UK, and that it would be a long recession, and that he felt that it would inflation will get to 13% before it starts to decline. So the takeaway from his discussion and what's going on over there is the surging cost of energy in Europe right now is the number one factor that's going to drive the EU and the UK into a recession. And the surge, of course, is the Russian-Ukraine situation. It's the cost of gas supplies to Europe, which result in reduced economic output. Literally, they won't have the power, like electricity, for the economy to run at full speed. That's it, period. So the economic outlook for both regions right now is not particularly great over the coming quarters. So if you're in there, I'd suggest you hang on. But if you're thinking about opportunities, well, if you're a longer-term investor, that might be a place to take a look at. And this is in contrast to the U.S., so I want to compare and contrast that, because, yes, the U.S. economy is slowing down. I've been talking about that for a while now, but there is definitely zero concern here in the U.S. about energy, because we have the power to power the economy. So it's definitely a different situation. Don't link the two together, particularly if you hear that commentary somewhere else, that they don't really mean the same thing, because it's not. It's just a different market. Now let's talk about oil, because I said I would. So there was a lot of pieces moving around the world this week in oil, in energy. OPEC said that global demand is slowing down, obviously. There's been a wave of disappointing economic data coming around the globe, and the demand trend right now is showing a sharp drop in consumption, which suggests that the excess capacity won't be needed for the quarters to come. So unless there is another unforeseen supply side shock, such as, I'm not saying, you know, we know Russia, Ukraine's still going on, but if you have something like that happen again, well, that could be a problem. But bottom line right now, demand concerns are now the dominant influence on the global energy market. And even though supply worries are going to persist with the Russian-Ukraine war going on in Europe and so forth, as we just talked about, we're going to need to see evidence of demand coming back for the oil market to begin to find a bottom. So on the charts right now, the next level of support to keep your eye on is 89.25. And from there, we go to 87.29. And from there, 84.91, so still 80s is what we're thinking. And 95 on the upside would be the resistance level we'd need to go through to see any sort of meaningful move to the upside. Next week, again, it's all about the CPI on Wednesday. So that's really the big news we're going to be looking at to get a view on inflation and see what's going on there. And on today's show, remember, we're sharing things that are going to cost you more in retirement, now that inflation is where it is.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.